I mean, there's a good reason why we called the Cape of Storms, right? There's also a good reason why a lot of windsurfers spend a lot of their time up the west coast of Cape Town, of the Western Cape. That's because we've got a lot of wind. I mean, that the winds and the various storms slam into our coastline. So the question that was raised by a listener yesterday is, why is it that we seem to have a lower penetration of wind farms in the Western Cape than some other places, despite the fact that we have such a windy climate here? So you are joined by Mersha Grimbeek, who is chair of the SA Wind Energy Association. Mersha, thank you very much for your time this morning.
It's an absolute pleasure, Kina.
So, I just wanted to start by talking about that perception. The perception that we've got less wind farms in the Western Cape, than, let's say, the Eastern Cape, or maybe even the Northern Cape, for that matter. Can we set that one straight, or is it accurate?
No, absolutely, we can set it straight. I'm glad you used the word perception. We currently have 12 wind farms under construction around the country, and three of those are, in fact, in the Western Cape.
Okay. So the perception that came into the show yesterday was incorrect. Now, we were talking about independent power producers. We all know and we juxtapose what's happening with Eskom. So number one, the country is at risk as a result of Eskom owing R500 billion, needing to pay that back. Plus, they're using coal, which is detrimental to our environment. Let's talk about the positioning of IPPs, independent power producers, as it relates to the future of South Africa.
Well, independent power producers are energy producers, much like Eskom. And we produce clean energy. And with a constant production of clean energy, we can replace the energy sources that Eskom currently use. So we can become quite a big player in the energy space. And we are perfectly poised for that.
Are we able to provide what Eskom's providing, or will it always be a situation where, you know, we take the load off Eskom so that they can still continue doing what they do, but we as or the independent power producers then provide a very important support service, as it were, when it comes to electricity usage?
We will never fully replace Eskom. We need an energy mix, and that is where the Independent Resource Plan, which is government's roadmap, their blueprint for what types of electricity sources we need and where we're going to get those from. IPPs will complement Eskom. We'll try and use as much clean energy as possible, and obviously we want to transition as the rest of the world has. We want to increase the amount of clean energy production and phase out or reduce the amount of coal energy production. We see that now even with government's decision that we welcome, that we won't be building any new nuclear, but we'll extend the life of Coburg Nuclear Power Station. So we're not anti-nuclear, we're not anti-coal. There's room for everybody in the energy space. It's providing an opportunity for renewable sources that are clean energy production, and they provide lots of jobs as well. There are lots of ancillary employment opportunities. If we look at the Western Cape as our prime example, we have not just the construction of wind farms, we have the construction of the wind turbine towers, we have the ports that have increased activity, the transportation of blades and nacelles. We have increased activity on our roads, the transport system, logistics, etc. So there's an extended economic impact, which is crucial to the manufacturing sector and the energy sector.
Now, we know that the Coal Transporters Association will and have gone to court on this. But over and above that, there's been a to-ing and fro-ing when it comes to the policy around independent power producers. What effect did that have on the willingness to invest?
It's had serious challenges for us to keep on encouraging investors to see South Africa as an investment destination. It's very difficult for any energy producer to provide certainty to an investor when there is no policy certainty. And for us, this is a key challenge that we're addressing through SAWEA. We're working very closely with other organizations and with government. And our main call is for the integrated resource plan to be signed off and promulgated in September. So the minister has promised that he would have cabinet sign off on the integrated resource plan. And what that does, it really sets out a roadmap for us that as the Wind Energy Association, we will be able to procure 1,600 megawatts per year. And
wow,
that provides investor confidence. That tells us that, you know, we'll be building X amount of wind farms over X amount of time, and by 2030,
yep,
you have a roadbook. And that really sends positive signals to not only foreign direct investment, it sends positive signals to local investment. It creates a positive impact on the manufacturing sector, logistics sector. So for the economy as a whole, there's multiple positive impact and not just the generation of clean energy.
What are some of the challenges you have when it comes to placing these particular wind farms, though? Because some people will argue and have objected against the construction because they're going, oh, it's going to kill the birds. You know, there's an impact on my view. I mean, do you, if one just looks at Saldanha residents, they've objected to the wind farms due to the impact on their view. Do you find this to be a major stumbling block?
It's not really a major stumbling block in South Africa. We have carefully considered the locations of the wind farms that are erected, and part of the environmental authorization process is taking into consideration all of those aspects. What is the impact on my view? What is the impact on the environment in terms of birds and bats? There are numerous environmental impacts that we are taking into account, down to what animal species are in that area. And wind farm developers are very conscious of the fact that if there is a sensitive impact, they will not permit a wind farm in that area. And that is why you mentioned the Western Cape versus the Eastern Cape.
Mm.
Western Cape wind farms tend to be located in areas outside of the urban zones.
Yep.
So they're not easily seen, and so the visual impact is not that great. I'm sure, you know, if we had decided to put wind farms up on the coastline, which is our travel destination, we would have opposition. So we work very carefully around,
yep,
you know, being observant of our environments that,
yep,
we work in, and creating meaningful, you know,
Indeed.
Construction.
Indeed. Of course, the Northern Cape wouldn't be a problem because there's no view whatsoever. But anyway.
Why doesn't it have beautiful views, Kina?
Just teasing. I think it's so important that we've set the record straight, because there's this perception we're doing nothing. But as you say, it's because it's out of eye shot.
Yes.
And that is the key one, and one of the key messages we wanted to bring home. So, Moshe Grimbeek, thank you very much for your time this morning, Chair of the SA Wind Energy Association.